about today.
Ready,
and... Repair K Pasuk Zion?
Yep.
Batan Esther. And Esther answered. Sakashvash offers her half the kingdom. Batan Esther. Esther answers. Batayim, and she says, Shelasiya Bakashasi. My request and what I seek. Now that's a profound Pasuk.
Yeah.
Is that an answer?
Not at all.
That's like talking to Marsha Katz.
There's no question. It wasn't a question.
So the Targum on this Pasuk adds things to what she said. But Esther responded and she said, I don't want half the kingdom. I don't want the base of Mikdash. So Shelasiya Bakashasi is a short way of saying, it's not the two things you think it is. It's my Shela and my Bakasha is something totally different than what you think it is. You think it's one thing, but I have something else in mind. So Shelasi, it's my Shela. It's not what you thought my Shela is. Bakashasi, it's my Bakasha. So she's not answering him, but at least she's addressing him. That's the Targum. The Vilna Gaon gives a similar teretz. Because Achashverosh wanted to know, is she doing a Shiloh or a Bakasha? What's a Shiloh? That's for herself. Personally, a Bakasha is for someone else. So she's answering, both. Both. Shiloh see and Bakasha see. Both. Because it pertained to her personally. She's Jewish and to all of Klal Yisrael. So again, she's answering and she's giving a partial answer. You want to know whether it's for me or for someone else? The answer is yes. Yes. Would you like cake or cookies? Yes. Now the Reflem Alkabitz, the author of the Menasa Levi, he has something, an insight on this pasuk. He has number one, it says Shelasi and Bakashasi, and it doesn't expound on it. Number two, in the next pasuk, she repeats it. She says, "If I find favor in the eyes of the king, and if it's good for the king, to grant my Shela and my Bakasha, to grant my request and what I seek." So she's repeating herself. And that leads to the following conclusion. What she expressed, her wish that she expressed, is Achashverosh should come to a feast. Achashverosh should be part of a banquet, of a feast, a Mishta Yayin. And she wanted him to come to one after the other, two mishtas, two feasts. So he wants to know what she wants. She said, that's what I want. And she told him what she wants. She wants to have a mishta with him. And she wants Haman to be there. She told him what she wants. But that's not what she had in mind. That's what she verbalized. That's not what she had in mind. So in this pasuk, it says, Shela si bakasha si. She's saying, I have a shayla, I have a bakasha, but I'm not telling you what it is. And the next pasuk, when she says, Shelasi Bakashasi, she says, that part, I am telling you what it is. So he answered both questions. And in Mamash, it's beautiful, because now you understand why she said it that way. She said, Shelasi Bakashasi. My Shaila? My Bakasha? That's it. not yet. My Shaila? My Bakasha? I'm not telling you what it is? I'm not telling you what it is! What I will tell you is in the next pasuk. So that's Mamash. Like a knack, like the snap of a pickle. Pasuk Ches, imatzasi chayim b'ni amelach, if I found favor in the eyes of the king, b'bal amelach toiv, and if it's good, toiv, losses a shelasi, to grant my request, v'losses bakashasi, and to act on what I seek, yavei amelach v'haman, the king and Haman, shakam elamishta asher esalahem, to the Mishnah which I'm going to make for them. So this is, this is the second Mishnah already.
Haman's there?
Oh, yeah.
No mention.
Well, it says in the Pasuk.
She wasn't
Pasuk. It says in Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, it says, Vayavah Melech v'Haman al Mishnah Shasta Esther. Haman's there. Umacha Esther b'Kedvar Melech. And then tomorrow, I will act on the word of the king. I'm going to, the king is going to finally find out. He's going to find out what he always wanted. Mark, I'm going to do it.
Oh.
I'll do it. Tomorrow I'm going to do it. Rashi says here, what does it mean tomorrow? I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you where I'm from. I'll tell you my nation. I'll tell you where I'm born. Macher Esek Edvar Melech. So she wasn't referring to tomorrow I'm going to reveal
what I asked for.
Tomorrow the mystery is going to, the veil is going to lift, the curtain, you know, you'll finally know what you want to know. That's how Rashi learns. So the question arises is what points is served, what purpose is served by her pushing it off to the next day? Whatever she did by the next Mishnah, she could have done by this Mishnah.
To put Haman on a high note?
Yes, that's one answer.
To make Ahasuerus more jealous.
That's another answer.
To make Ahasuerus desire the answer even more, so be more willing to give
this. Listen, you can give this year. I'm going home.
No.
No? Okay.
Also, because Haman still had to build the gallows.
Okay.
Because Haman would come and sink him next time.
Alright, so there's different mepharshim here. I saw. In the Vilna Gaon. He makes a couple points here. Number one is that by the first Mishnah, Haman wasn't there when she invited him. She was in the presence of Ahasuerus. She invited Ahasuerus. And she told Haman to she told Ahasuerus to invite Haman, so she didn't invite Haman directly. And for her plan, she had to invite Haman directly. So the second Mishnah, Haman was there. He was there. He was present by the first Mishnah. So she was able to invite Haman directly to the second Mishnah. What's the advantage of this? She wanted Haman to appear chashev in her eyes. She wanted to deliver the invitation personally to build him up, to lift him up, and we explained before the advantages of this. Number one is, it's always advantageous to lift up your enemy before you throw him down. You know, if you want to take your enemy and throw him down to the ground, so wouldn't it be better if you pick him up and then you throw him down?
You put him in the elevator and then you
cut the cable.
Then you press the trapdoor on the elevator.
That's right. So that's, Morale says that. The other Morale says that. That she wanted the purpose of the second Mishnah was to pick him up even higher, which you said. The Yosef Lekach, the commentary called Yosef Lekach, says she wanted to get Ahasuerus really jealous, and she was able to see that Ahasuerus had not reached the boiling point. Had he reached the boiling point by the first Mishnah, she would have done it, but he didn't, so she had to leave the kettle on longer. And then the Vilna Gaon tells us something, penetrating. Something penetrating. Esther was not standing in front of Ahasuerus. She was not physical. She was in a different world. She was on a totally different level.
Even by the Mishnah?
Yeah. She didn't eat. She wasn't there. And even her body wasn't there, because her body was at the stages before death. It was at the stage before the approach of death. 3 days without food. You can't live more than 3 days without food. That means her body wasn't even there. The neshama wasn't definitely not there, but even her body wasn't there. That can't be sustained. A body that can't be sustained is not considered there. So it means that everything she did had to be understood on a higher level. And that's the ikkar. So the reason why she called another mishnah is because she can't save Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to save Klal Yisrael. And she had no idea how you're going to do it. It's a din min shamayim. Klal Yisrael has to, if he asks, Klal Yisrael has to do tshuva, and then they have to wait for the Yeshua's Hashem. We've established before that there's no ishtadlus here. You can't bribe officials, try and run away. There's no ishtadlus here. All the avenues of escape are gone. They're at the end of an alley. They're boxed in. We saw by Mordechai, he did this. He went to the palace gates, didn't go in. He doesn't know what to do. He's got to wait. Wait for some sign. This is the Vilna Gaon. I'm sorry. So Esther, she knew that she had to do something with Ahasuerus. Mordechai said she had to go to him. She wanted to do it with a Mishnah. You know, these are all Sfaris. But now what does she do? She waits by the first Mishnah. Nothing happened. She didn't see a sign in the Shemayim. And if she didn't see a sign in the Shemayim, she's not going to do anything. You know, you make the wrong move. Then the blood of Klal Yisrael is on your hands. So she did nothing. So she had no other recourse. She had to make another Mishnah. And the Vilna Gaon says she was right. Because in between the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah, that's when Haman got the garbage can on his head. and that was significant. It wasn't just something, that provokes that tickles our funny bone, you know. Everyone's got a garbage can on his head. That was funny. That's a simon shemayim that Haman is down. Haman's garbage. He's been pwned. So that, you know, so that means that her efforts bore fruit. The Rekech on this pasuk notes the term umachar esek edvar melech. Machar meaning tamara. He said you find the word machar elsewhere in the Torah. You find it in Parshas Beshalach. The pasuk about machar anechi nitzav al reish ahar. Moshe said, tomorrow I'm going to stand on top of the mountain. Moshe is going to be on top of the mountain. Yeshua is going to be down. And they're going to fight Amalek. The Muhammad against Amalek in the Parshas Beshalach was one tamara. So here also, the same phrase is used in Machar, because the Muhammad against this Amalek is also going to be one tamara. Machar. So you see that there's a connection. That the Nitzachan of Moshe and Yeshua and Amalekim in the Midbar was the beginning, and this is a continuation, and this is the death blow to Amalek. You know, Moshe and Yeshua struck the first blow. They weakened Amalek. Yechlash Yeshua's Amalek. They didn't finish them off, and here they're finishing him. They finished him. Amalek no longer exists. Amalek no longer exists as an entity. I mean, they still managed to cause enough trouble, but as a nation, they don't have an identity. The national identity has been eradicated from the time of Purim. The ones we suffer from are there, not necessarily the biological descendants, but it's those that bear the flag of Amalek, the spiritual descendants. But Amalek as a nation has been eradicated. Pasuk Tes. Vayetu Haman, Bayamahu, Haman went out. On that day he went out. Bayamahu, on that day Haman went out. Sameach, he was happy. V'tov lev, goodness of heart. He possessed goodness of heart. The Kiryas Haman is Mordechai. When Haman saw Mordechai b'shar melech in the gates of the king, v'leikam, Mordechai is consistent. He didn't get up. V'leizami manu. He didn't stir. I mean, there's different definitions that are supplied for the word za. Za literally means to move. So he didn't move. But the Targum says that za means to tremble. The Mordechai wasn't cowering in fear in front of Haman, you know, because Haman has so much power, and Mordechai should be afraid of him. Mordechai, as we say, wasn't Gerus him. Haman, you are a mistaken Gerser. I'm going to eradicate you. Loi Garsinon. Loi Kam Velei Zamimenu. Vayimalei Haman al Mordechai Chema. Haman was filled with anger on Mordechai. He's angry. Targum says, Mordechai, Haman went out. He didn't just see Mordechai sitting in the gate of the king. He saw Mordechai with all the little children. This is a famous madrash. Targum brings it. Mordechai with all the little children, that they're totally involved in learning Torah. This is the Targum. They're totally involved in what? Learning Torah. They're not, you know, they're learning a sukkah. The Madras said they were learning Hilchas Kmitza. They were learning the laws of the Karban Mincha and Beis HaMikdash. What Beis HaMikdash? What Kmitza? Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The people are going to be destroyed. They're learning Hilchas Kmitza. Okay. They're learning. Where were they learning it? Because the target, there was a yeshiva right there by the gates of the king. There was the Sanhedrin. The yeshiva's Mordechai Tzadik. The Sanhedrin was there. Who made it? Esther made it. And Mordechai, he wouldn't get up. And he didn't tremble. What did Mordechai do? He did move. He stuck out his foot, his right foot, and on the bottom of the shoe, the right foot, was the contract that Haman was sold for a loaf of bread. So now you can understand why Haman was filled with anger.
So they didn't get any other types of shoes back then? They had one pair of shoes?
Mordechai treasured this one. This was his favorite pair of shoes.
It's really right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to Sameach Mitzvah. Makes sense. Now, just so in Cambodia, it's considered very rude when sitting on the floor and your legs are crossed to point the bottom of your foot towards someone else.
How do you not it's like do a very,
that? You have to do it to your, I guess you have to assume the lotus position or something. Not, you know.
It sounds so hard.
Okay, well then don't sit on the floor. But it's very rude. Cambodia. It's very rude to show someone the bottom of your foot.
What?
And that's, you know, especially if it says on the bottom of your foot that the person is your slave. No, but I'm saying there's a significance to why the contract was written on the bottom of Mordechai's shoe. It wasn't just because they didn't have paper. It's not, you know, why the bottom of the right foot. And, you know, we can't go into it right now. But it's not just an accident, because nothing in Megillas Esther is an accident. Right, so Aaron, you wanted to know. Sameach v'tov lev. So the Vilna Gaon tells us what Sameach and Tov Lev is. He said, Sameach is, he's happy. He's happy because he has everything he wants. What doesn't he have? And Tov Lev, the Vilna Gaon says, his heart is fortified. Because when you embark upon a plan of such proportions, there's always the fear that things will come tumbling down and it could, you know, collapse around the plotter. And he was confident. So Sameach is, he was happy, and Tov Lev means he felt confident and he had no fear. What was he afraid of? The Vilna Gaon says that Haman knew that Esther grew up in Mordechai's house. It's something that he would know.
Who says this?
The Vilna Gaon.
How come he never told?
I told you that everybody was claiming Esther as their own. That's what he said. That there was so much static, it drowned out the signal. It drowned out the signal. There definitely were people that knew that, but Achashverosh didn't know who to believe. Haman said, yeah, I found evidence that she grew up in Mordechai's house. First of all, the Vilna Gaon said, that doesn't prove she was Jewish. The Alshich says
that she told
Achashverosh, yes, I was. He also learns that Alshich learns Achashverosh knew she was brought up in Mordechai's house. But she told Achashverosh she was very young, when her parents died, she doesn't remember anything. And her first memories are being in Mordechai's house. And the reason why she doesn't tell him what her origins are is because she can't tell him. No, but Achashverosh, she told Achashverosh she can't tell him because she didn't know.
And now she's saying, but now I do know.
I remember.
Yeah, now I remembered. Right. I don't know. It's her problem. She's got to figure. She got bigger problems than this to worry about. She has much bigger problems to worry about. And she has sufficient grounds to be mad at her even without that.
But then if he knew where she was raised, then why did he care, like, to find out where originally she was from?
He wanted to know if she was had nobility, if she had her lineage, her blood. You ever heard of the term blue blood?
Yeah.
Or nobility running through the veins? That was very important to them in those days.
But according to Alshich, why did Achashverosh keep bugging her and
he wanted to know whether she...
Blue bloods and bluegrass.
Well, you didn't believe her.
She doesn't remember.
She'll find out. She didn't believe him, you know? Yeah, today she said that. Tomorrow she'll say something else. It's part of the game.
Yeah, but if all he wants to hear is that she has nobility, if she was, she would say it. If she's not, if she's lying,
he had no clue why she was hiding it.
That's normal people.
There was no further information available. It's something he wanted to know. There's a spiritual aspect here. You know, according to Vashti, Achashverosh's ability to be Melech HaKol HaOlam is because he was married to her. There's a spiritual gene passed from Nebuchadnezzar, who Hashem gave the Kayach. Who gives the kayak of a king to rule over the world? Hashem. Hashem decided to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be destroyed by someone who has a power over the whole world. Hashem gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. Before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he was a nobody. His nation wasn't even a nation. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu raised him up. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash has to be destroyed by the rule of the whole world. So that means Nebuchadnezzar has a kayak from Hashem to be ruled over the whole world. He passes that to Vashti. Vashti marries Achashverosh. Achashverosh rules over the whole world. Don't you think it would be important to Achashverosh where his wife comes from? Pashut. Yeah, he wants to know where she comes from, not where she was raised. But there's different views in the Mepharshim. Some Mepharshim learned he didn't know squat. I'm just mentioning this to you. So Haman knew that she grew up in Mordechai's house. I don't think he knew that she was Jewish, but he knew she grew there. So he's afraid that even if she's not Jewish, but Mordechai is her stepfather, and she loves him. And that was his biggest fear when he had this plan, that the queen loves his nemesis. Oh, so why is he Tov Lev? Because he said, "How's he? You know." So, and he won't be able to kill Mordechai because Esther's going to save him. But now that Esther invited Haman to the Mishnah, and more significantly, she didn't invite Mordechai to the Mishnah. So that means there's some kind of family feud here. All is not, you know, all is not rosy at home. So that's why he was Tov Lev when he saw that he was invited. And more importantly, that Mordechai was not invited. Oh, Tav Lev, and now he's fortified with 8 important vitamins and minerals. Bayemahu. So it says there he was happy and fortified on that day. The Rekach makes a diak. Bayemahu means on that day he is fortified, on that day he's happy. And that's his last happy day, because tomorrow he's not going to be happy. Tomorrow he's going to be a swinger.
Nighttime. Right.
The Rekach tells us another remez here. It says that Mordechai didn't get up for Haman, and he uses the words, like come. He didn't get up. Like come. This is the Rekach. Like come. We find the term like come in the Torah. There's a pasuk like come, Navi Oid Kemaisha. It has never arisen in Klai Yisrael a Navi like Maisha. But we say in Yigdal, like come, Yisrael, Kemaisha Oid. Like come. So the Rekach makes a connection between the two like comes. First of all, Maisha was a Navi. He was the Navi. Second of all, Mordechai was a Navi. He was Malachi. The Navi Malachi was Mordechai. The Gemara Megillah Daf Tezvav says that Mordechai was Malachi. Second of all, Maisha Rabbeinu was the Nisan HaTaira. He was Mekabel Taira from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He gave it. And Mordechai was the Nisan HaTaira because there's the Taira Shebenigla, the revealed Torah, and that we got through Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there's the Pnimiyas HaTaira, Taira Shebal Peh, and the Taira Shebal Peh was something that was inculcated into Klal Yisrael. I mean, it became a part of Klal Yisrael. It became the Iker of Limud HaTaira. The Iker of Limud HaTaira by Klal Yisrael after Purim was Taira Shebal Peh. They had Taira Shebal Peh before Mordechai, but it should be the Iker Taira, that this is our Taira. The Iker Taira is Taira Shebal Peh, and Taira Shebal Ksav, we don't have an idea what it is. That's from the times of Mordechai. We learn Chumash. We have no concept in the Taira Shebal Ksav and Chumash. The only understanding we have in Chumash is what Taira Shebal Peh tells us. We don't have Shachas of Taira Shebal Ksav. And that happened in the times of Purim. So the nice in the Taira of Taira Shebal Peh was Mordechai. The nice in the Taira is Maisha. Lekam, lekam. The third thing the Rekach says is Lekam is Mashmir, and Maisha is the last of the Mohicans. There's not going to be anyone like Mordechai, like Maisha. So the second Lekam is the Mordechai is the last of the Mohicans, and there's not going to be anyone more like Mordechai, and that's true because he was Malachi, and the Malachi was the last of the Nevi'im. So Moshe was one of a kind. No other Nevi'im compared to Moshe. And Mordechai was the last of his kind because there were no Nevi'im after him. Lekam and Lekam. Pasuk Yud. Vayisapak Haman. Haman held himself in. I remember all the jokes we used to say on these psukim. How do you know that Haman was basa v'chalav? It says Vayimalu Haman Amordechai Chema. He was filled with butter. How do you know Haman was, you know, had problems, stomach problems? Vayisapak Haman. He had to hold himself in. Vayisapak Haman. How do you know he was a baby? Haman Hagugi. Vayisapak Haman. Did I forget to tell you the remes from the Rekach? Yes.
That's what it means or no?
Well, it means to hold yourself in.
Oh. Traffic jam.
Okay. Weiter. Vayisapak Haman. Haman held himself in. Vayavel Abesei came to his house. So he wanted to take action right away. And for some reason he didn't. Why didn't you just kill Mordechai? What's going to happen to Haman already? He's Jewish. He had permission to kill the Jews. He's a mechutzav. He didn't stand up for the... It takes a supreme effort of willpower to do it. He must have had good reason not to do it.
To kill him?
Yeah, he's angry. He's uncontrollable. He has so many reasons to do it. He could justify it. Now, people do these things all the time. He came to his house, and he sent, he brought his beloved ones, and he brought Zeresh his wife. The Yesh of Lekach says, what does it mean Haman held back? He held back from doing what?
Killing Mordechai?
Yes, yeah, so the Yesh of Lekach says he held back from going back to the king and tattling on Mordechai. You go back to the king. The king issued an edict that all must bow down to Haman. Mordechai is not heeding it. Tell the king, That would seem to be the most probable path that Haman would embark upon. It's no risk. And not only that, the Yosef Lekach adds that Mordechai didn't have a no-come policy. Haman said, any dignitary to walk by, Mordechai got up. The only one that Mordechai didn't get up for is the one that the king said you do have to get up for. That's the deliberate act of chutzpah, of goal, unmitigated goal against the king. Varaya, he stood up for the other ones and not for me.
Why was Mordechai being murdered by Malchus?
How did Mordechai justify this?
Because he owned him.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Chacham were against Mordechai. They held he was wrong. Esther was against him. Esther held he was wrong. Esther held that he provoked. In the end, Mordechai turned out to be right. That's it. Esther is a hidden sefer because the Chachmah, the Svar and the Chayner was so hidden that there was only one. Esther didn't understand it, but to her Maila was that she was Meshubah to Mordechai, so even if she didn't understand it, she did it. So it's just two. Esther and Mordechai. You see, the Malachim didn't understand it. We went through this before. The Malachim spoke harshly to Mordechai. They didn't understand it. Nobody understood it. The whole Sanhedrin, no one understood it.
So how was he right to enter them?
How what?
How was he right?
Well, Klal Yisrael had to be brought to the brink that there's absolutely no hope. And that normally that looks like a suicidal course, but this is what saved their life. This is what saved our life, yes. What saved our life is to hurtle ourselves down on a path of destruction that there's no way out. And Mordechai was the one that did that.
There were no other Nevi'im at the time, it was just Mordechai.
Well, there was Chagai Zechariah and Malachi, they were on the same. Yeah, so whether the Nevuah is not recorded about this. Daniel's not a Navi. So why didn't Haman do it? It's a perfect weapon. Why didn't Haman do it? Because Haman was such a Balgaiva that he can't admit to the king that it bothers him that one person doesn't bother him. His Gaiva didn't allow him to do it. He said he's going to wait. He'll get Mordechai, but he'll get Mordechai with all the other Jews. If he singles Mordechai out, so Achashverosh says, why Mordechai among the other Jews? Because he didn't bow down to me. And he couldn't admit. It's a chink in his armor. He couldn't admit. He couldn't admit it. That's the Yosef Lekach pshat. The Medrash says another pshat. The Medrash ties it in with the end of the pasuk. That as cruel as Haman was, his wife was the cruelest of the cruel. She was Cruella. She was like, and he wanted to do something, but he wanted to be the ultimate cruelty. So if he would do something now, he might miss something. And Zeresh would definitely have a better idea of what to do. So he was able to hold himself in. It's easy to hold yourself in when you know that pushing it off is only going to make it worse for your enemy. So according to the Medrash, it wasn't all that hard for Haman. He held himself in because, I'm really going to get there with Zeresh. She's going to think I'm something really cruel, you know. We're going to admonish, you know. She's an Eishes Chayil, right. And of course, the Rekeach on this Pasuk says a parallel between the Vayisapak Haman over here. Where does it say in the Torah Vayisapak? Does anybody know? Yosef. The Yosef held himself in, and because that, you know, he was Zeicha to Gedula. Gedula. Yosef, he rose to greatness because he held himself back. So there's a remez over here that a result of this series of events is also going to be a simcha and a gedula. Klal Yisrael is going to rise up to godless. Vayisapak Yosef is. Vayisapak is what he couldn't. Vayisapak Yosef, he didn't reveal himself to his. I have the wrong Vayisapak? No, you're right. I have the wrong Vayisapak. Vayisapak is when he wouldn't reveal himself to his brothers. So it's a different shot. Yes, it's not referring to him becoming the king of Mitzrayim. He held himself back, and then it became his holding himself back from his brother. Eventually turned into a simcha. Turned into simcha.
Why? I thought he was holding himself back.
Said they should do tshuva. He held himself back, said they should complete their tshuva. Yes, the Dove is right. We're talking about him as holding himself back. His brothers were undergoing a tshuva process. It doesn't say v'yisapak there, it says v'yema'in. I was wrong. So he held himself back, and his holding himself back led to simcha. So here also the holding oneself back is going to lead to simcha. Shekayach, you're right.
It's
a tshuva. Tshuva, at least a tshuva and mimela.
Yeah, it's going to lead to tshuva.
Yeah.